Thank you. Creator be with you.
And also with you.
Let's pray. Grant us, O God, the courage to choose Jesus' way, even at great cost, bearing our cross and releasing our possessions for the liberation and healing of your world. Through Jesus Christ, the wisdom of creation, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to all Israel the words which the Lord commanded him. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I have commanded you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down and to other gods and to serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, and to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Hear what the Spirit is saying to us
today. Thanks be to God.
Have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, confident of your obedience. I am writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. today, on September 11, 2001, something extraordinary happened in New York City. I am not talking about the act of terrorism, that destructive force of violence that led to so much death and devastation. Rather, I am talking about how the people of New York responded that day. They were magnificent. They were brave and kind and cooperative and self-sacrificing. Was it everyone? No, I'm sure it wasn't. But as Rebecca Solnit explores in her essential book about disasters and resilience, A Paradise Built in Hell, the stories of how everyday people behave in times of crisis have largely been ignored or misrepresented. While the media focuses on heroes and villains, on public figures and outliers, a quiet but vast stream of kindness, courage, and resourcefulness flows by almost unnoticed. In New York that day, before the geopolitical posturing and warmongering, before the unending replays of the planes hitting the tower, before even the heroic exploits of the firemen and police officers, ordinary people responded in utterly extraordinary ways. To borrow the words of Moses that we hear in today's passage from Deuteronomy, they chose life, and not just their own lives. They chose life in the broadest sense, life with, life for, life together. It is worth quoting Solnit at length to illustrate this. She writes, "When the towers crumbled and people nearby were plunged into the pitch black darkness inside the fast-moving crowd of pulverized buildings, many of them thought they had died. And even after the most unimaginable event possible, even after being showered with debris and immersed in mid-morning darkness, after that vision of 220 floors, each an acre in size, coming down, after witnessing commercial airliners become firebombs, after inhaling that terrible choking dust that would damage so many permanently, people, for the most part, got back up and tried to take care of each other. People got back up and tried to take care of each other." She gives far more examples than I can recount here, both of people in the towers who helped others, and of people throughout the city that day and in the days and weeks that followed who chose life by choosing to do everything in their power to help others. There were 25,000 people who safely evacuated themselves from those buildings, despite the daunting physical challenge and the confusing and contradictory orders they got from officials. There were many thousands more who had to leave the surrounding area as the compounding dangers of those falling towers became apparent, and a spontaneous assembled armada of boats conducted in a few hours an evacuation far larger than the fabled 10-day Dunkirk evacuation of the Second World War. Solnit tells stories like that of a finance guy, a former college athlete, who could have been the first out of the building from his office, but instead, he kept looking back and slowing down to make sure that everyone else from his office made it out too. Stories about a paraplegic who was carried downstairs by a relay of co-workers and virtual strangers office workers who walked down 87 stories in pitch black stairwell while the building was collapsing around them, who all made it out okay because they formed a human chain, each keeping a hand on the shoulder of the person in front of them. This is what it looks like to choose life. Not every man for himself, not survival of the strongest or the fastest or the most selfish, but life with, life for, and life because of our fellow human beings. Solman's book is about much more than New York on 9/11, and I want us to return to those ideas and stories, but first, we have to look at today's gospel passage. It's a tough one. At first glance, it seems like the exact opposite of the message from Deuteronomy urging us to choose life. Here, Jesus literally says that we're supposed to hate life and hate other people, including our family. So what on earth can this mean? How can we square it with the good news of a God who joins up with our humanity freely in order to heal the sick, liberate the captive, and comfort the brokenhearted? There's a bit of careful parsing we could do over that word hate, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but a Greek scholar I trust says that the word that we translate hate is more about preferences and priorities, not about feeling some kind of emotional loathing. Jesus is using as examples the things that generally matter the most to people, to good people especially, things like family loyalty and the gift of life. And he's using those things to ask if we could forsake even such precious things in our life. Could we forsake those if it were necessary for some greater good? Because the hardest choices are not between good things and bad things. We know what to do with those choices. The hardest choices are when we have competing goods. And that is where knowing our priorities and our core values is so important. So when you think about the context, about all of these people crowding around Jesus, caught up in the thrill of the moment, certain that they want to be his disciples, then his rough language makes a little more sense. Extreme as it sounds to our ears, what Jesus is saying is something like, y'all, this isn't going to be easy. You're having a good time following me now, but you haven't stopped to count the cost. The price you're going to have to pay that is right around the corner. Your family might not like it. Your social media followers might not like it. Your boss definitely won't like it. If you have anything that is holding you back, anything you cannot stand to lose, you're not going to make it. You need to know that now, while you can still choose a different way. Jesus is very good at using hyperbolic language to wake us up out of our timid and anxious everyday way of thinking and living. When Jesus says we have to give up all our possessions and carry our cross if we want to follow him, scary as that might sound, Jesus is actually offering us the same choice that God gave the Israelites in Deuteronomy, the way of life or the way of death. We get to choose either abundant life, life lived immersed in God and God's love for the world, or else something that looks like life, that might even look like success and achievement, but is in fact mere existence, shallow,
fleeting and unsatisfying. Too often we don't realize that we have that choice until it is forced on us, such as in moments of crisis or disaster. And yet, for better or worse, today we are living through what is in many ways a life-threatening, widespread disaster. But without the singular and urgent immediacy of a tsunami or a wildfire or a terrorist attack, we're in the middle of a climate crisis, a democracy crisis, an inequality crisis, and so much more. And all of it is gathering steam and threatening to overwhelm us, and yet so much of it is happening in so many places that it's hard to know where or how to push back or resist or even escape it. And so we end up feeling stuck or avoidant or despairing. I actually think the way forward might be simple, although we know it's not going to be easy. Jesus is right. We need to count the cost, and then we need to be willing to give up anything that is holding us back from taking the next right step. The step that will lead us in all likelihood to the cross, but that will also lead us without doubt to resurrection and new life. We have all the tools we need. We have countless examples of people who have found out that when everything is stripped away from them through loss or violence or calamity, what is left is their essential goodness and interdependence. And astonishingly, when we lean into that, we end up in a beautiful, fruitful, flourishing place, a life filled with meaning and purpose and passion, not despite, but because it is also without the safety and security we think we need. Solnit and others have shown that disasters bring out our latent but always available spirit of resilience and generosity, that so often what emerges is a surprising wellspring of joy. It is as if in giving so deeply of ourselves, we realize that this is how we were meant to live all along. Because it is. Human beings were created to care for one another and the world. We were created for interdependence and mutual care and concern. Our current way of life, to which most of us are so desperately clinging, actually works against living out those values. As Solnit says, sadly it takes disaster to make clear how deeply most of us desire connection, participation, altruism, and purpose. And where better? Where better to find a life of connection, participation, altruism, and purpose, that life we so long for, than right here. Right here in church, yes, with all our imperfections and fragility and ego and fear, but also with our empathy and creativity and faithfulness. And right here in this life of discipleship, of following the way of Jesus, of living more deeply into our questions and our hopes and our love for the beautiful world that God created. Right here and right now, in our little corner of the world at this very moment, we can begin to form that human chain. One hand on the shoulder of the person in front of us, looking back, hanging on, so that we can walk out of this darkness together. We can commit to slowing down when we need to holding space, and to not giving up, so so that everyone has a chance to step out into the light together.
for fishers and foresters, for climate scientists, ecologists, and activists, and for all who work to restore and heal our wounded earth. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for the dead, especially for those holy women and men who taught us to marvel in all God's works. We pray for the repose of the soul of David W. Lowe and for his family and friends who mourn. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
Gracious God, grant that your people may have in them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, and guide us into harmony of relationship through loving kindness and the wise use of all that you have given us. For you are drawing all things into communion with you and with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
And the peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Okay, so we have some
announcements
to make. First, we have in our yellow announcement sheet, and most of it is very time-sensitive, so I'll try not to read it all, but I do want to make sure that you are taking a look at this and taking it home with you. Today, obviously, is our kickoff Sunday. I hope you knew that coming in, because we only have this one service today, but even if you didn't, it's great that you're here. We do have ice cream after church, so even if you're arriving now, like, you're not too late. I'm not sure exactly where the ice cream is happening, but once you find the ice cream, then you get to pick up a map, and then the map will show you where some other things are happening. So, it's summer. Janet, is it out by the carousel? Okay, alright. So, it's not that way. I'm sure it'll be obvious. So you get your ice cream, and then you can either just wander around and talk to people, sit down, whatever, have fun, or you can go to one of the open house spaces. And I really encourage you, even, for instance, to go to the Goblin Play classroom. You may not have kids or grandkids in Goblin Play, you may not be that age yourself, but I think it's still going to be something really interesting to look at and to learn about, and that is a really important part of our common life here at St. Martin's. So that's what's happening after church today. After church next Sunday, is that 14th? Yes. We are having, after this service next Sunday, we're having a gathering for people who want to learn about the pilgrimage that just happened, so will have happened that Friday to 2 weeks late. So if you want to go on the pilgrimage, it's not too late to sign up, but tomorrow is the extended deadline. That information is here. Whether you go on the pilgrimage or not, you're welcome to come on Sunday, encouraged to come on Sunday, where we'll be talking about that experience and also talking about the sacred ground circle that we're starting here again, hopefully in the fall, if enough people are interested. Lots of other really cool things on here. Goblin Play started up again today. We are welcoming back the choir. Those are things that make it our exciting kickoff Sunday. And just know that some of our things have shifted, so some of our scheduling has shifted, so that the first Sunday is no longer happening on the first Sunday. Those services are going to be on the fourth Sunday. Stuff like that. So please do pay attention to
announcements, the emails that come out, all the ways that we are working to communicate with you, and then we want to hear back from you about too. I see in our heading down the aisle for our nutshells, we have ushers with welcome bags. So if you haven't been here for a while, if it's one of your first times here, and you have not received a welcome bag, you do need to raise your hand so that we can find you in the pews and give you a bag. But that is the only commitment involved. There are no other strings attached, except we just need to know who you are. And so please let the ushers know so they can give you a bag. Okay, I think the other really important thing for today is just please read the blurb in here, the announcement in here about how we're changing our communion distribution. So I'm going to give you instructions for communion today. I'm not going to tell you this for next week, because it's going to get confusing if I say that aloud and then we're not doing it. But it's in here for next week. So we'll just leave that for now. And next week I'll explain it all again. I also wanted to just say, you know, all of you, I think, know that last week my dad died, and I had to think about whether or not to come here today. To be honest, I just didn't want to be a distraction, but I wanted to be here. I wanted to be here with all of you, and so thank you for making that possible and for all the kindness you've shown me and my family. Are there celebrations and milestones that we have to share today? Yes.
Tomorrow
is
my sister's birthday, and the date was my
dad's. Oh, is there more than your dad's birthday? Tomorrow is your sister's. So we have a birthday over here. Yes.
Yesterday was the same.
Another birthday. Oh, happy birthday. Wonderful. Love the birthdays.
We celebrate Alyssa and Chris being back with us after an extended stay.
Yes. Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
friends and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He took the wine, gave thanks to God, Creator. He gave it to his friends, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for all creation, for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink of the wine, do this in remembrance of me." So we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Merciful God, we come to this table seeking reconciliation with you, with one another, and with all creation. Through these mysteries, reconcile us to our world and empower us to restore your creation and fulfill the world. Send your life-giving Spirit upon us and upon this bread and wine. Stir in us the creative and redeem the destructive. Heal your stricken world that the soil, skies, and the seas may be filled with your life anew. Fill every heart with sure and certain hope that we shall enter into the fullness of your joy when your whole creation is justified by faith and sanctified by love and you are all in all. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, everlasting God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now say first in Spanish and then in English.
Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amén. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.